Sometimes you want to laugh. For all the other times, there's this.
Connect to the Wi-Fi from next door. Cause you know it's time for the Ash Kip and Lutzy podcast. 106.9.
Wow. Thursday morning.
Hey-o.
Hey, oh. Morning, Mitch, can you grab me a paper, please? I forgot.
Why are you, what are you saying on the... Making sure you're doing into the microphone. He's standing right there. Ash, Kip
and Lutzy. I don't know if I ever watched The Fly. That's a horror, yeah?
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, it's I actually still haven't seen it. I want to watch it before I go on, because I'm hosting the season again this year. But it's one of those ones, those movies that have been parodied by The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And I think Bart, basically Jeff Goldblum's a scientist, and he comes up with some kind of, like, I don't know, teleportation, but he, you know, merges with a fly and slowly decays into an insect. Yeah, but so I think the movie's actually been ruined by the parody that The Simpsons put out, which is fantastic. So if you haven't seen it, get out there tomorrow. Double feature of The Fly and Gattaca. And the season's just kicking off too.
And what's Gattaca quickly?
I have seen it. I actually forget a lot of what it's about. It's like
97 American science fiction film.
Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman and Jude Law, actually, like really early days of those three careers. Yeah.
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
You don't like him, do you?
Oh, yeah, he's your favourite. Yeah.
He's a big fan of you, though. Yeah. He likes it when you get close to
tool.
Him.
He's a tool.
Did you ever hear that, Suze?
Yeah, I did. I actually thought you overstepped the mark.
You're in his personal space.
He was having a private marathon.
You got up in his grill.
Oh, God.
You don't know what
stop
it's like it. To be famous.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Ash, Kip and Lutzy. There's a cyclist by the name of Shane Perkins. I don't know if you heard about this yesterday, but he's an Australian cyclist. And look, I don't know the ins and outs of it. I'm not that much into cycling, although I enjoy it when I see it at the Olympics. But he missed out on the team, the Australian team for the Olympics for Rio last year. So it seems like he's in dispute with whatever the Australian cycling authorities, and he can't get a start, Lutzy.
Yeah.
Even though I think he may have won a gold, he may have won a medal of some sort representing Australia before.
Yeah, but I feel like I've heard his name.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, he's been around.
Olympic Games bronze medalist.
Bronze medalist. So he's won a bronze medal before. Couldn't get a start for the Australian team in Rio. And now he says that he's going to defect to Russia.
Yeah.
To compete for Russia at the Tokyo Olympics in 2020. Huh. Now, taking all that aside, okay, because, you know, I don't know what the politics are and who's right or who's wrong or whatever, but... if you take yourself, okay, this is my question. Go back to Sydney 2000 and you know that you can win the gold medal, the Olympic gold medal.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, all of a sudden you're in a dispute with Swimming Australia and they go, Susie, we're not selecting you, but you know that you can win a gold medal.
Hmm.
And you can defect to...
Qatar.
Yes.
Okay. Wherever
you can
defect,
Qatar's a good example.
You can defect to another country. What do you reckon you'd do?
Well, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it.
You'd do it.
Well, it's just so far removed from. Oh, anyway, it's just hard for myself to put myself in that situation.
Mm.
But the
Kenyan athletes do it a lot.
Actually, interestingly enough, in athletics, they do that all the time. But
yes.
Sebastian Coe, who's now the president of the IAAF, did you see this the other day, Lutzy?
No.
He's actually he's going to put a stop to all people changing nationalities in athletics. So it's up to the organisation whether you're allowed to do it. Mm. So with this Shane Perkins thing, it's up to the International Cycling Federation if he can do it. And in the athletics, they've been doing it all the time. Have you seen it? Like Qatar has... all the top African runners.
Yeah. Oh, does it? I thought you were just plucking that out of thin air.
They take
whoever, do they?
Yeah, so basically all the Africans go to the highest bidder. They get paid loads of money to change countries.
I think in the Olympics, I remember saying that the top 10 teams in table tennis were all Chinese nationals from every... Australians were Chinese nationals. Everyone was, they were all defected.
Well, because there's... in Kenya, obviously, there's probably 20 runners that... could medal at the Olympics, but they all can't go to the Olympics.
Yeah, it's probably the same situation, isn't it?
So they've got to go and represent Qatar.
But it's kind of unfair to everyone else, isn't it? So I'm glad they've put him.
So does he have any... he's not Russian. He hasn't got a Russian granddad or anything.
I don't know.
He said he's friends with the Russian who got bronze in Rio.
That'll do. That'll do then. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
All right, after the news, we'll have to do Smarter Than Sue's. Mm. And we should talk about Grant Hackett too and what happened with him yesterday. The top five, a new top five this week.
Mm. It's themed, isn't it?
Yeah, we're doing every other week we're doing a themed top five because, you know, just to mix it up a bit, the Grammys were on this week. So it's the top five Grammys songs from this year that were performed at the Grammys.
All right.
Yeah. Performed at the Grammys.
Yes.
And when are we going to talk about the circumcised bloke? Do you want to do that?
We all had this interesting... sometime earlier, we heard this interesting thing about a friend of mine, her son wants to join the armed forces.
Yeah.
And apparently he has to be circumcised. I'd like to check if that's true. That
how old is he?
He must be late 20s.
And he's not at the moment.
No.
Australian
Armed Forces.
Yes.
And apparently he's booked in for the operation. And I hope he's not listening because he's going to hate it that his mother's been telling all her friends.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But wow. To me that seems unbelievable.
Well, I remember hearing from my uncle, but this must have been 40 years ago, that he had to be circumcised as an adult to join the army. He got the call up, and they went up to Townsville, and beforehand he had to get the snip.
What would the reasoning for that be?
Like they said, if he gets an infection when he's out,
in
the tropics.
I want to say that in the desert, but I don't know if they go. They still go to Afghanistan. I don't even know how bad is that. We don't even know what our armed forces are doing.
Desert would be.
Yeah, but why would
a danger zone? Would you for that?
Well, I don't know. I haven't.
It's a danger zone for a lot of things. Afghanistan, and not for catching him.
I haven't got infection. One, but are they...
A penile infection.
Hang on, let's just clarify this. You don't have a foreskin?
No.
Right?
Or a penis.
Good. Well, I don't know. That sounds ludicrous to me.
That's assumed. Yeah.
That actually sounds ludicrous to me. But
it does sound like
I don't know.
We've got Truman's on the phone. 13 24 10 is our number if ever you want to get involved with the show. Truman.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
Good, yourself?
Yeah, what's your thoughts on this? Do you have information?
Yeah, I was in for 5 years, and when you first join up, you obviously go to training, and you see everybody in their skin, and I can tell you there's a lot of blokes that are not, including myself, fully capped.
Yeah. Fully capped.
Well, there you go.
Well, what's she saying?
Yeah, you need to get in touch with this friend of yours. Yeah.
Apparently he's booked the surgery. Oh, now I feel like I shouldn't be saying that.
Is it possible, Truman, I mean, you may not know, is it possible that if he's looking at Air Force or something else that might require it?
You know a foreskin doesn't do well in altitudes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the aerodynamics of it is just awful.
Yeah.
Like Vanessa. Flapping around in the breeze.
That is the word.
You need a wing keel up there at 20,000 feet.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Sue reckons that she's been getting tactics or tips.
Of who?
Well, Cliff.
Cliff told me how to do the mental maths.
Really?
Just break it into a 10 and the smaller number and then add it together.
We've been telling you that for weeks.
I know you have, Botsy, but it's hard.
I know it's hard under pressure. I know.
It's different when you're playing the game to playing in the car.
Yeah.
It's very different.
True.
It'd be interesting to see how Cliff goes in real time.
Probably pretty well.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean,
he probably beat me.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe we'll see one day. I'm very interested to find the result.
Who'd win out of you and Amber in an I'm Smarter That?
Oh, I'd win that one.
Wow.
I don't know, actually. I don't know.
No backtracking. There can be no backtracking.
That was definitive.
Yeah, that was definitive, and it was a little bit smug, but it was a definite smug. I'd win that one.
Come on. I think we all
come on.
Come on. Silly question. Come on.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
I'm smarter than...
I'm smarter than Sue's.
I'm smarter than Sue's. Sue's is heading into the soundproof booth. We've got 30 seconds on the clock. Our contestant today, since she can take down Sue's, is Tracy out of Cooperoo. Morning, Tracy.
Morning. How are you all?
Excellent. So 30 seconds on the clock. You'll have 5 questions. Pass, and then we'll come back if there's time. But recommendation is to have a crack at it, because in the event of a tiebreaker, fastest wins...
And Sue's
is generally faster. Yes,
very good, Tracy. Well, you know that.
I think in years now it's been only a couple of times she's been beaten on time.
Mm.
All right, Tracy. Good luck. $100.
Thank you.
She's vulnerable at the moment. She's on crutches.
Yep.
She's coming off a loss yesterday, so You can pick up $100 here if you're on your go.
Good opportunity.
Well, speak up loud, Trace. It's not the best line we've got there, but see how we go. Okay. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. What is 55 minus 13?
42.
What year did Heath Ledger die, 2008 or 2010?
2008.
True or false, Joseph Cook was the sixth Prime Minister of Australia?
True.
What is a group of emus called?
A flock.
Spell liability.
L-I-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y.
Oh. You can have a think about that, Kip. The powers that be might want to go to the
We might need to get a
video ref on that
ref
one.
Ready? Because we have not had that situation before.
Yeah, spelling
sort of halfway
the
through
line.
The buzz.
All right, here she comes. This will make it $200 on Tuesday, Suze, if you can win this. Up against Tracy out of Cooperoo.
Why are you sitting on two seats, bow-legged?
I thought it'd be nice.
Fine. As you were.
Okay.
Cooperoo.
Yeah, I know. Don't even look at how Coocher spelled Cooperoo.
Cooperoo. Okay. Yeah. Kangaroo.
You ready? Come on. We focused?
Yep.
30 seconds and your time starts now. What is 55 minus 13?
43.
What year did Heath Ledger die, 2008 or 2010?
2008.
True or false, Joseph Cook was the sixth Prime Minister of Australia?
False.
What is a group of emus called?
A flock.
Spell liability.
L-I-A-B-I-L-I-T-A.
Stop it.
You had 1 second remaining.
Did I?
You did.
What about Tracy?
Tracy went to the buzzer, so in the event of a tiebreaker, you win.
Okay, let's go through it. Trace,
what's our call on the last timing issue?
On the buzzer?
Well, just they're going to the video ref, so hopefully by the time we get there, we'll work out what the ruling is there, Lutzy. What is 55 minus 13? Tracy said, both of you took a lot of time here. That was a difficult one. Mm. Tracy said 42. Sue said 43. It's 42.
Yeah. What happened, Suze? You did it the right way. You took the 10 off, then you forgot the number, I guess, the little one.
I started thinking about Cliff in the middle of it.
Tracy's laughing.
Wow. all right. So, did you really? You like that, didn't you, Tracy?
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but anyway.
So, Tracy, you're leading 1-0. What year did Heath Ledger die, 2008 or 2010? I remember that day vividly. We were on air when that happened, and it was 2008. You're both correct. It's 2-1 to Tracy. We go to the third question, true or false. Joseph Cook was the sixth Prime Minister of Australia. Tracy said true. Suze said false. Correct answer is true. And it's 3-1 to Tracy going into the fourth. A group of emus. Susan.
Sad face.
You both said a flock.
Yeah. I guess I can see why you do that because they're birds. They're birds. But it's different, isn't it?
It's a mob.
It's a mob.
A mob.
Really? Same as a mob of kangaroos. It's the.
Is that right?
Is that indigenous term?
It would be, yeah.
Yeah, just that, yeah.
So it's 3-1 to Tracy. Oh, we go to the final
Tracy
question.
You've been a complete liabilitar in this game.
You're liabilitar.
You're a liabilitar, Suze.
Okay.
Stop it.
Tracy said,
what did they do?
Tracy said liability, L-I-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Right. Suze said liability, L-I-A-B-I-L-I-T-A.
Liabilitar.
So you were right, Tracy. Whether or not you got in on the time or not doesn't matter because you win.
Well nice.
Yay.
Today, and you picked up $100.
Thank you.
Well done, Tracy.
What do you do as a job? You seem very clever.
I'm a paediatric dental nurse.
There you go. Good title.
Yeah. Nurses. Well,
if you're going to get taken down, that's who you want to get taken down by, Suze. We'll play again tomorrow. Ash, Kip and Lutzy. Been talking a lot about cyclists. You had that bloke this morning, Ash, who's defected from Australia to Russia.
Oh, he's looking to defect,
And there was the bloke yesterday, the road rage...
the vegan guy.
Cyclist,
yeah.
Who I think People might have taken his side more if he wasn't wearing a big vegan, go vegan shirt.
Exactly, that's what I thought.
I think people hated the fact that he's a vegan more than a cyclist, I reckon. But when we're in, just before Christmas, when Emma and I went to over to London, we had an incident there where it just showed you, because as we were walking around London, I was thinking, this is sort of, it's got a similar feel to New York size-wise. You know, it's busy and you've got everything going. But the people are just so much more polite because they're English. As opposed to, you know, New Yorkers. And to the point that we, they have a lot of bike paths there. They don't seem to have the same issues with bikes because a lot of the footpaths have a second path next to it, which has got bikes, which is great. That's what we need, I think.
There's heaps more cycling in the city there, but is that because the traffic's
slower?
In Europe
in general.
I guess, yeah, but I would feel a lot safer. I don't know. One of the main reasons I don't ride much is you do feel like you're in danger out there on the road. But everyone's riding on the paths. But as a tourist, you don't know, you know, you just think a footpath is a footpath, and you don't realise that it's a bike path.
So you're saying on a normal footpath in London, there's another section and that's just for cyclists.
Yeah, it's like two lanes. It's like, and it's a
that's pretty cool.
It's a different tarmac type of thing. Yeah.
Say in Amsterdam.
Yeah. And
that's very cool.
It was really cool. Yeah. But we had a moment where, because we're tourists, we didn't realise, and
you dumb Aussies strolled into the bike lane,
strolling
around,
didn't you? Here we are, holding hands, walking off, and Amber stepped right in front of a bloke who was coming at full speed on the bike, and he has jammed on the brakes and sort of slid sideways, right? And I was expecting just like, what are they doing?
Or?
No, he managed to hold it, and he's gone, oh, watch out!
Really?
That's it.
Did he say sorry as well?
We said sorry. He's like, that's all right, no worries. And got off and rode off.
Do you think if Emma wasn't there, it was just...
Yeah.
If it was just me?
Your goofy head strolling across a bike car.
You're bearded. I might have copped the spray.
He's looked at you. Are you suggesting that the cyclist has come along, just seen some... in inverted commas, dumb Aussie walk into their path, screech on the brake, get ready to unleash hell, and then seeing that it's Amber, and I don't know what I was thinking. I'm terribly sorry.
Didn't you do that once? Remember, you were telling me you did that once, where you were clearly at... the girl was clearly at fault.
I'm sure I've done it a million times. Remember I did it with the lady
on air
that parked over my driveway.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Yes.
You were ready to blow up Deluxe and you went, it's fine.
Just leave it here. Yeah. I haven't got to go anywhere for like 5 days.
Move in.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Just quickly, I don't know if people still look at the comics. Phantom. Have a look at Phantom today when you get to work. If you've got the paper. Phantom comic. I mean, who looks at this? I mean, how do you keep in touch?
He's my boy. What's he up to?
Yeah.
So today, I'll give you today's.
I mean, I don't read the three cell bits.
It's
two
frames.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
It's two frames today. So
catching up.
Two photos. He's in the front of a car driving.
Who? Phantom.
Phantom.
Yeah.
He's
driving. Is he a superhero, Phantom?
I don't know.
No powers, but yeah, you know. Wears spandex. So
he's a superhero. He doesn't
wear spandex.
He's a hero, then that'll do.
That makes you a superhero.
He's confident in spandex. So
needs some kind of compensation for wearing clothes that tight.
Yeah. So he's in the front in full garb with a dog. So he's driving. There's a dog on the passenger seat.
Okay.
Without a seatbelt on, either of them. He's saying, "Everything all right back there?" And then it's got an asterisk. And at the bottom, it says he's saying it in the Bandar tongue. So he's saying that. Then you go to the next frame, the last frame. They're in a stretch limo. And it's a big fat guy in purple pyjamas with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 native African men.
Yep.
Who, not in their tongue, are saying, "Limo!" and "Nice!"
I actually don't get that.
That's it.
No one gets it.
He wears purple and that...
So why is he in a stretch limo?
I don't think that's got anything to do with the conversation, but...
Good on you for
just check it out.
Although if you're hanging out with him, it's probably a question you want to ask,
Well, he's driving stretch limos now.
The Phantom is.
He's driving.
He's a driver.
Is he a chauffeur?
He's a chauffeur.
He's not a superhero.
He's a chauffeur with a dog in the front.
He's not a superhero.
There's a fat bloke looks like Clive Palmer in the back in purple pyjamas and 7 native Africans smoking cigars and drinking beers, speaking in English while he's speaking in Bandar up the front.
The Phantom's pimping Clive Palmer.
Check it out. It's in the paper today, page 41.
And someone gets paid to actually do that as a job.
Oh, hang on. The King's just texted me, "Ash, you're in trouble now." That's his boy too. So.
What's that? Can
he make sense of that, please?
Yeah. Kip, how dare you?
don't you dare.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Nova. The Weekly Top 5. Top 5 welcome to Ash, Kip, Lutzi and Susie's Top 5 Countdown. This week, counting down the top 5 Grammy Award songs for 2017. In at number 5, Mitch with Beyoncé's Formation, Best Music Video.
I like my baby hair with baby hair and afros. I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. And all this money, but they never take the country out me. I got hot sauce in my bag, swag.
Number 4. Lutzi with Chainsmokers' Don't Let Me Down, Best Dance Recording.
I need you, I need you, I need you right now. Yeah, I need you right now. So don't let me, don't let me, don't let me down. I think I'm losing my mind now.
Wait for it.
It's in my head, darling. I hope that you'll be here when I need you the most. So don't let me, don't let me, don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down.
That's all right. That's good, y'all.
Don't let me down, down, down.
Number 3, Kip with 21 Pilots, Stressed Out, Best Pop Group Performance.
We used to play pretend, give each other different names. We would build a rocket ship and then we'd fly it far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing in our face, saying, wake up, you need to make money, yo.
Number 2, Ash with Drake's Hotline Bling, Best Rap Song.
You used to call me on the cell phone.
Forgot about this one.
Let now when you need my love. Call me on the cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Did I know when I don't love me? I can only mean one thing. I know when I don't me. I can only mean one thing.
And this week's number 1, Ange with Adele's Hello. Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best Pop Solo Performance.
I must have called 1,000 times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call, you never seem to be home.
Tune in next week to see if Ange can hold the top spot in Ash, Kip, Lutzi and Susie's weekly Top 5 Countdown.
What I like, though, Ange, yes. At no point did you stop.
Yes.
And go,
sorry, I was committed. Start again. You're committed to it.
Sorry, but that was done. That was done so long ago that, you know, it's proof we are improving. That's, I recorded that ages ago.
What, yeah, you suggest that you can do better now?
I'm better than that now.
I'll go in there and do it again.
Ash, Kip and Lutzi.
Anybody watch the David Attenborough show, The Planet, last night?
Oh, I missed it. Man.
It was the best show I've seen in so... Oh,
they'll
man,
replay
I loved
it, surely.
I loved it.
I saw that iguana. I've seen that iguana before.
With the snakes?
Yeah.
That's
one of the greatest bits of footage you'll ever see in your life.
Oh,
what happens? Who films it?
Oh, mate, yeah. I don't know. The filming on that... there's this one island. I think it's in... Galapagos Islands, maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yep. These iguanas, they get born, like from the second they're born, there's all these snakes just waiting for them.
Yeah.
And they've got to make it from where they're born in the sand to the rocky headland.
Oh, really?
Otherwise, the snakes, they're dead.
Canapes.
And this one.
Yes, they're canapes.
Yeah, they're canapes. And, yes. But this one, they got the footage of this one baby iguana. Like, and I'm talking, there is literally, it looks like something out of a Harrison Ford, Raiders of the Lost Ark. This one iguana, the greatest escape of all time. How he got through all these snakes.
I mean, they're on him. They're coiling
around
him.
He was done.
Him.
Really?
He was done.
Yeah.
And he got out of it.
Yeah. I know, it's incredible.
That's pretty amazing.
And the sloths. You ever see the sloths? They're the coolest animals ever, man. It starts with the sloths. But he calls them sloths. We call them sloths in
Australia.
Sloths, yeah. They move so slow. Like he hears a mating call, and then they've got the footage of this sloth like working in fast time. But it's like he's just stoned, and everything is just so slow, and it takes him forever to get to this tree. And then he gets up there, and it's the wrong tree.
Oh no! What a nightmare.
Ash, Kip and Lutzi.
We got this thing at home at the moment where. I've just been mucking around with Archie, like he's 5, and there's a show that I've been watching. It was on a while ago. It was a really good show, cop show. They made a whole series of, I can't remember the name of it now, it would be helpful if I was a good storyteller. But
Chips?
No, it wasn't Chips.
Was it Chips?
But it's about the drug culture in the US, in the slums of one of the suburbs of the US, and then, you know, and so you get to see all that side of things, and then the cops and all the rest of it. Anyway, I became infatuated with this show. It's a really good show. And the kids on the street that are dealing the drugs, the way they talk to each other, like the black people, they're just so cool. Every kid is called a shorty.
Mm.
You go, shorty, blah, blah, blah. And their turn of phrase is just so good. So yeah. I've started around the house calling Archie shorty.
Mm.
And trying to
right.
be as, you know, as street as I can.
Be a future drug mule for
yeah.
him. Yeah. He's not confused.
And one of the things the they say, is, they yeah. call everyone shorty, and in street talk, rather than saying, you know, do you know what I'm talking about, you'd say, you feel me?
You feel me?
So it'd be like, you know, blah, 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 you feel me? And everything finishes with you feel me.
Mm.
And this really cool phrase. So like the other night I had, and I've been driving Archie, like getting him to repeat it all. So the other night, for example, this is where you get an insight of how much fun I am to live with, Suze. Jody was running around organising stuff, and I wanted to go to sleep, and Archie wouldn't go to sleep. He was in the bed with me, and I said, let's go to sleep. And he's like, no, I need to have my pyjamas on. I didn't know where his pyjamas were, so I sent him out to Jody, but I made him learn this phrase that she was all, you know, running around. That
I feel like you could have found the pyjamas in the time you taught him this phrase. but anyway. Yeah.
Again, this is how much fun I am.
Yes.
That he went up to her and said, shorty needs to catch some Z's. I need you to kit me out in some sleeping threads. You feel me? All right. So
did he learn it?
Yeah. So it took ages for him to learn it, but he's gone up to her and gone, you know, shorty needs to catch some Z's, but I need you to kit me out in some sleeping threads. You feel me? Shorty goes, what? He needs pajamas, Mum. One of them yelled out. But anyway, so every time I pick him up from school, I'm like, how was Shorty's day at school? Blah, blah, blah. And he gets back from school yesterday. He was in aftercare. He gets back from school, and there's Levi, myself, and Archie, and we're talking about what we did during the day.
Mm.
And he was talking about how he was at school, and he changed, you feel me, as he was talking about what he was saying, to Daddy Feels Me.
Oh, God. Oh no.
God.
Oh, for God's sake.
He was saying something. He goes, yeah, and Daddy Feels Me. I'll leave on. I just looked at each other. We just looked at each other and Mitch and went, you got to stop saying that, man. That ain't cool.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
This Grant Hackett situation, I couldn't believe it yesterday when it was all unfolding. I was like, oh, no. It's happened again for Grant. And he was at his parents' house at the time. When it first broke, Suze, it was sort of just, all I saw was Grant Hackett's been arrested.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no. And then details sort of started to filter through. And I guess the journos, you know, I don't know, I'm conflicted when it comes to that because the journos have got a job to do and I can appreciate that, but this seems to me like it was such a private matter.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting what the journalists have been doing.
Well, really? I mean, the Grant's dad did call the police.
Yeah.
And that's what I was left with yesterday. And I thought that his brother, Craig, who came out in front of the media, I can't imagine how tough that was for Craig and his dad, Nev, to front the media as well and talk about something as, you know, as raw as what that was, where they don't know what the hell's going on with their son and their brother. That would have been really difficult. But I think that what it shows is, should they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do.
Yeah, like, to me, it reeks desperation. It is because, I mean, what you think about it, the first thing I thought was like, there's some old bloke talk, must be a neighbour talking about what happened. That's his dad.
Yeah.
His dad's come out in front of the police that Grant's just been taken to the cop shop.
And his dad is an ex-police officer too.
Yeah.
So that shows the desperation where he doesn't even know how to control the situation that he's had to call
the
police.
Here's a question. How does the media, how are they at the cop shop before he arrives?
I think that they've got scanners.
Oh, right,
is that still a thing?
I think the media is well, this is what I'm assuming, that the media is covering the police scanners. There's been a disturbance at such and I have no idea.
I'm speculating, okay?
I would imagine...
I didn't think that'd still happen.
You make a call to the police. The call goes out from the police on the scanners, go to such and such address. Media is monitoring the scanners. Scanners says, that address, that's Grant Hackett's parents' place.
Right.
Mm. Boom. And two and two together.
Do we have something like that, Ash? Should we even have a scanner or something?
They've actually gone all digital now. So I think the only way sometimes is you can tap into it on your apps. On your phone. But I think a lot of journos have got contacts as well.
I think it's more likely that someone from police media has let them know. I don't think scanners happen anymore.
Anyway,
seems like they're not. Anyway,
I don't know.
The police were going to find out. But do you think the family really want him to hit rock bottom to get out of it? That's what I reckon.
So I had a pretty... That's the first time I've seen Craig Hackett speak yesterday. Yeah. And I had a pretty raw conversation with my brother yesterday, because this cuts pretty close to the bone for me, like what's going on with Grant and just the whole sense of hopelessness around, you know, not just Grant but the family. And Luke was saying to me that, I don't know if you've got the grab there of Craig, Craig saying, this, we don't know this person.
Mm.
Luke was saying to me yesterday that's exactly how Luke felt. That's exactly how my mum and dad felt. That is the way that he spoke about that. Luke was saying that was exactly how he felt. And when all of my stuff was going down, Luke was like, I've lost my brother. Luke said
Which is what Craig was saying.
This is what Craig said. I've got it here.
He's there in body, but he's not there in mind, in soul or spirit.
So, given your experience, Ash, do you reckon that this, as horrible as this moment is, that this will hopefully be a catalyst moment?
I hope so.
And that's what you have to imagine. This family got his best interest.
I don't know Grant, and
it's a tough call. He's been through it all.
I know he's been through rehab and all of the rest of it, but...
And I think in this case, the media's not helping, because them being outside his parents' house today, you know, being outside all the hospitals where he could be staying, then last time when he was in rehab in the States, following him, asking him how he's feeling, that just continues a downward spiral. He doesn't want to talk about it. He wants to deal with it in privacy.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's also a flip side to that, that as uncomfortable as it is, like especially for me, I hate talking about this stuff, but... The flip side to that, he is a public figure, whether he likes it or not, and there's got to be some positive that can come from putting the spotlight on it and going, this is a problem that is in our community, whether you like it or not, it touches people from all walks of life, and this is just another illustration of how people are hopeless against it, and the good people, good families, like the Hackers, don't know what to do.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately for Grant, until he gets the help that he needs, it's not going to get better.
Do you think maybe he admits he needs help? I don't think he's ever done. I don't think he's ever. I've never heard him say he's got a problem. I mean, maybe he doesn't need to say it publicly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his situation is.
I don't know if that would help, though, just admitting that you've got a problem.
No, you hear that that's the first step, though, isn't it? I don't know.
Ash, Kip and Lassie.
132410 is our number. If ever you want to be involved with the show, you don't need a special invite. You can just give us a buzz. A couple of people have done that. Tim out of Vicky Point.
Yo.
You had a question for Suze, Tim.
Yeah, I was just listening to you guys talk about Grant. Suze, do you think the the Swimming Association do enough for retired representatives in regards to the way Hackett's gone? Like, do you think he has enough support behind him from them at all, like the NRL does with the... Sort of like the rugby league players, if they're in the doghouse, they sort of do everything in their power
straight. That's a good question.
I think they've certainly been supportive. John Bertrand, the president of Australian Swimming, has been on the TV and all the media. But as far as retirement go, it's really come to light, I think, probably after the Sydney Olympics, that it's not super easy retiring. And there is more systems in place.
What to help them?
To help people with the swimmers union. Actually, Daniel Kowalski's really led the way in this.
Really?
But you know, it's hard when you say, is it all retired athletes, and then that poor me elite athlete thing I just can't stand either. So, you know, sure, it's a transition. I think any time you make a big change in life, whatever you do, it's difficult. There's more support definitely at the moment. But you know, they how much resources have they got?
Yeah, I think, what do you do?
I think it comes down to, I'm not saying that he hasn't got this, but the people around you a bit to.
Your family needs to be your supporters as much as as and, anything else. Yeah,
yeah, and he might have, and and for Grant as well, it might be a medical.
It sounds like he's got lots of support. Yeah,
he has got lots of support, so I'm not saying it's that.
Yeah,
he might have a medical you know, mental. I don't know enough about all this stuff to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But it's like a perfect storm, I think, for someone like Grant.
And it seems like his girlfriend's no longer in the picture, and I imagine that'd be a catalyst for for a breakdown.
But yeah, but I love Grant. I mean, he's such a good guy. I've never seen him.
Yeah,
like this myself. You know, he's an absolute gentleman, very articulate, fun to be around. I was just at dinner with him a little while ago, and so when I saw it as well, I was really shocked.
And
it's
going to be news because not much happens. Like, we live in a country which is a slow news cycle.
Yeah.
All right. If this is America right now, it probably doesn't get a run. But it's gonna, of course, it's going to get a run here because we're talking about it.
Yep.
If Seven cover it, Nine aren't there. Someone gets a sack.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to cover it.
Yeah.
It's Grant Hackett.
Yeah.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Now that Alex is at school, I can tell this story because it's a bit embarrassing for her.
Yeah.
It's from my holiday again. So we flew to Canada. So it took, I think, 14 hours.
Is that direct flight?
It was a direct flight. Yeah. Vancouver, Canada, cool. Brisbane, Vancouver. Oh. But then we couldn't get in a hotel until that night it was. So I ended up being in the same clothes for probably... Ooh, I reckon 24 hours.
Oh, gross.
And you know how disgusting that is.
Yeah.
So finally, I had a shower and cleaned up and everything. And everyone in the family had a shower. And then I went to find my dirty undies to wash them. I'm like, I like to keep up to date with my...
On your first day? I mean, you got to give yourself a little bit of a break. Okay.
I like to keep up to date. And I said, has anybody seen my dirty undies? Yeah. And Alex goes... Oh, they were on the bathroom bench. I thought they were clean ones. I put them on.
What?
She put my dirty undies that I'd worn for 24.
Oh, God, that's...
Good morning, Alex.
Morning.
Oh, she'd be livid at you telling that one.
Ash, Kip and Lottie.